Welcome to the Swine Time Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Spencer Wayne, here at the Pipestone Veterinary Services office in Pipestone today, and I'm hosting this podcast. I get to interview people, exciting people, every so often here and share it with you guys. Today we have a special guest, Dr. Adam Shelkoff. Adam, it was in 1989 that Big Daddy Kane penned the immortal lyrics, "Pimpin' Ain't Easy," in one of his songs. But I got to say, my friend, you make it look easy. So how are you doing?
Thank you for that, Spencer.
Okay, good. You looking good?
Good. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay. And for those in the audience that don't know, Adam and I work together. Adam, you are Director of Veterinary Services, or what's your actual title now?
Title would be Director of Health for the Pipestone Management Company.
Sorry, I should know that because you're my boss or my boss's boss, one of the two. But in any case, I should probably know what your title is.
Just a title.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're here. And I think a pretty interesting topic. It's timely. And for anybody that has pigs coming to their barns or has a sow unit they're managing or working in, the concept of what we're going to talk about, I think it's something that's been more and more embraced and talked about in the last year. And that is sow health upgrades, or basically freshening up your sow herd through population change. And so I'll just turn it over to Adam, and why don't you, Adam, just describe a little bit what it is and kind of how we're approaching this concept of a sow health upgrade.
It's funny, Spencer, you think about that. Why are we talking about a sow health upgrade? What changes over time? What makes us think that all of a sudden we have a potential detriment in the sow herd health that we have relative to others? You know, you have societal pressures that change. You have different pressures on attributes or pressures for antibiotic stewardship or just an overall desire for an upgrade in sow farm health, which more than likely you're trying to attribute sow farm health to what you perceive as the ability to have top market pigs or profitability in the wean to market phase or, you know, the greatest percentage that make it to a grade A market. All of those, it's a little weird to try and understand why we start to delineate differences in sow farm health, but definitely, when you look across a large enough database or a large enough set of sow farms, you can start to see, as you put all the information from the sow farm to the grow finish performance together, you can clearly see differences in the health of the wean pigs mm-hmm. or the health of the pigs coming out of that sow farm.
Yeah, so I'm working with a producer, and he's getting a certain flow of pigs, and he's used to it, and all of a sudden he gets another flow of pigs. Same age, there's really no same genetics. He says, good grief. These pigs don't fall out. They're completely different, or it goes the other way. But there are definite differences in what should be the same farm that come to your barn and how they perform, and it's related to health for sure, because you look and think, well, this is a hale farm. It's mycopers negative, very clean. It was stocked recently a few years ago in a very simple, clean stocking. So huge differences. Question for you, though, is, like, what's the range? Why don't you define, like, the worst to the best of if you're saying, oh, this sow farm is characterized like this versus this sow farm is characterized by this on the bad end?
I'll take that in two different ways, Spencer. Number one, the point you just made, right? I'm mycopers negative. Therefore, I must be high health sow farm. Is that actually true today? I think that's one of the clear points that we're going to try and expose in how we talk about sow farm health, that it goes beyond just the big obvious, hey, I'm PERS negative, I should be clean sow health. Yeah. I don't think that's as true today. There's other layers that we have to uncover that are certainly contributing to when we start to see wean to market flows out of a sow farm that some are, you know, 85% tops, some are 95% tops. You have a clear difference, and maybe there's aspects of management or maybe there's aspects of pig density around those wean to market operations that start to separate those. Mm-hmm. But if we truly attribute a lot of that just to the health in the sow farm, that's a huge number in terms of the value of one sow health to the other.
Yeah. You said you were talking about myco and PERS. And so those are two big ones. But how many times you got pigs that are out of a myco PERS negative farm and, like, they kind of suck? They're not mm-hmm. that great. And you think, well, what else is there? So I'll ask you, what besides myco and PERS, we talk a lot about that. What else is there that might be screwing pigs up, you know, from this farm that should be having better pigs than it does? What else is there?
It comes to this question that we've wrestled with here at Pipestone and how we answer the simple question of, what health status is my sow farm, right? You're talking about wanting to upgrade sow health, but can I answer the simple question of what health status is my sow farm? Well, I can say it's PRRS negative. I can say it's myco negative. But in that context, we don't talk about influenza. We don't talk about enteric coronaviruses. And the newest one is we don't talk anything about bacterial disease. All five of those are key components to how we actually look at sow health. And it's something that we at Pipestone are intentionally trying to get better when we talk about sow farm health. All of those influence how we should think about and how we should categorize sow health. And frankly, we should get better at it. That's why we're intentionally working on simplifying the health scheme, which many of our farmers are going to see in the coming year and years, on simplifying this health scheme of what health status is my sow farm.
Yeah.
It should be as simple as it's green, it's good, it's yellow, it's acceptable, or it's red. It needs a drastic intervention to improve sow health.
Yeah, you've laid those things out for us. We're reviewing those now, and it's a red, green, yellow, or red, yellow, green, I guess, or green, yellow, red. Mm-hmm. Good, it being a happy place, a really bad place, or somewhere in between is kind of the way it's been. And that's, I would say, comprehensive in that it looks at bacteria, it looks at flu, it looks at PRRS, all the things, yes or no. I always think about pig brokers making dirty pigs get cleaner just by the conversations that go on, because they like, what's the status of the farm? Well, it's a PRRS stable. Pretty soon it's triple negative, whatever that means. And so these terms get thrown around a lot. And so I'll try to make a meaningful term that defines how good the pig is. It's kind of where you're going with this, I think.
I am. It's halfway comical, right? Green is happy. I want to be in a happy place, but everybody can accept that. If my farm status is green, well, I know I'm negative for all of those five said diseases or bacteria or what have you. Where if I hear that my sow farm is red and I have downstream performance that kind of matches that, that, hey, I have significant mortality or I'm not getting grade A, well, it's obvious then I need to make a drastic change. And then it's to start diving into why is that farm red status and what's contributing to this quote unquote poor sow farm health.
Yeah. So we've got farms that for 30 years haven't had any new animals in them, and they've been having, some of them probably have way over a dozen gilt sources over the years, just like gilt sow farm sources, not even the grow out locations. I know that's got to be a big part of it as far as the quality of the animals that have fed that sow unit over the years that have built up whatever level of bacterial contamination, viral things, just pathogens that are there. I don't know, maybe you want to talk a little bit about that, because I know of at least two different farms that without having PRRS issues, just having to deal with strep, have depopulated multipliers in the last few years because the customers didn't want the gilts because the downstream from those farms was so bad from a pathogenic strep, for example. So they depopulated gilt multiplication sites simply for strep, not even for PRRS. That's a big deal. So maybe comment a little bit about how much the gilt quality and health impacts what the commercial farm will kick out to a farmer.
It's a great question. The bacterial health that you're speaking of, Spencer, it's a newer category or a newer way of evaluating sow farm health, but it's one that we've put a tremendous amount of effort in the past, I would say, 5 to 6 years here, and even really more in the last two as we've improved the tools that we have to understand bacterial health, improved our understanding of multipliers and the bacterial health that they contribute, and then just also the recognition that farms over time switch from multiplication source to multiplication source for whatever reasons, but you accumulate new bacteria and you get exposed to new bacteria when that happens. And there are clear differences in multiplication herds today that have more pathogenic strepsuous, more pathogenic Glacerella parasuis, and there's clearly herds that do not have those type of pathogenic bacteria. And it's a very distinct difference when you start to recognize the bacterial health of sow farms that may be infected or affected by those versus those that are not. The frustration, as we have bettered our understanding of bacterial health and the pathogenic versus non-pathogenic, is the inability to actually eliminate some of these without depopulation. So We feel better today that we have tools to help us reduce incidence, reduce clinical disease, right? We can use strategic antibiotic programs and different types of management practices and different types of vaccines to help reduce the incident, right? We can make this quote-unquote yellow level where we have acceptable levels of clinical disease that are manageable. But to actually get to that optimum, that green happy place, it may require some of the more drastic strategies to actually get rid of known pathogenic bacteria and resource that herd from a multiplication source that doesn't have the pathogenic bacteria that we have concern about.
Yeah. So that leads us to the next point. You know, we're talking a lot about how sow farms can get dirty and how that dirtiness can screw up the farmer taking the pigs out of the unit. And what do you do about, well, you can bomb them with antibiotics, but you'll never really get to probably where you want to be. And where you want to be is having this fresh, clean, brand new herd. And the concept of sow health upgrade and how to accomplish it, that's not that it's an obscure term that kind of clouds what it is, but does a little bit because it doesn't say what you're doing. But essentially, it's you're getting rid of your old dirty sows and putting new clean ones in there. So how do we do that?
There's one clear way that I reference your depopulation. That's the easiest way when we think of bacterial health. It's not always, right? We have different health management strategies. If it's a PRRS virus, if it's an influenza virus, if it's mycoplasma, we have better strategies today than we have ever had on using the tools that we can do in an ongoing herd and manage those diseases better. We can get to that high health status that we want, right? Yeah. That green health status. But bacterial is a different one. We have strategies today that we can reduce bacterial mm-hmm. challenges, but ultimately, if we want to get rid of them, depopulation is what may be required. And it always has been viewed as, you know, it's an option in the most extreme examples to get rid of things. For just a little strep suis, it doesn't seem like it's, you know, the necessary thing to go to. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is when you start to look at the cost every single year of additional vaccine use, additional medication use, and then on top of that, just the lack of performance in those sow farms that have bacterial health issues versus those that do not, there's an ongoing cost that all of a sudden comes into view that, hey, the depopulation, although it may seem expensive, there's clearly a great ROI on that, that it's something we should figure out how to knock down those hurdles in our way.
Yeah. And the few cases I've seen where people have rolled their herd over, not by a regular depop, repop, but something I think you're going to talk a little bit more about here as a technique. But when they've got a new herd, the downstream pigs all of a sudden get way better. You think, well, we didn't have PRRS before. We depop for this other reason, but all the little bugs that were there, we didn't know what they were doing weighing us down. There's a tremendous amount of drag being caused by that. Mm-hmm. All these freshened up herds tend to do way better. How to add that up and calculate it is going to be a trick. But you mentioned, no, we can get rid of PRRS. Yeah. We can get rid of Michael. Yeah. We can probably even get rid of influenza. Yeah.
We can.
But we can't get rid of strep. We can't get rid of Haemophilus or Glacerella. We can't get rid of probably these rotavirus enteric things in the farrowing. But they just hang out. So we're kind of stuck unless we do a herd rollover. So how are you talking about just a full depop? Like we're just going to dump it out and bring in brand new gilts and spend 20 to 30 weeks getting ramped up again? Or what are the techniques for doing this? Because the downtime's got to cost a lot of money.
You're exactly right. And I think we haven't viewed those bugs in the past, the rotaviruses and the streps and whatever, partly because we didn't have some of the more pathogenic ones, but also we didn't recognize the true underlying cost of what those caused us in the weaner market. We may have been clouded by the fact that PRRS and influenza were much more of a drag than the strep suis and the GPS. But to your point on the strategies, depopulation, yeah, seems big and scary. There's different management techniques to be able to do that and cut some of the challenges that may seem too hard to overcome in depopulation, i.e. 30 weeks of downtime as you depopulate a herd and you have to have new gilts brought in and bred and you have a period of downtime. The sanitation of the facility, the cost, the sourcing of new gilts, etc. All of those are barriers. Pipestone has worked hard to try and alleviate those barriers and say, okay, how can we cut downtime by using an offsite to do a breeding project, which we've invested in resources and assets to be able to do that, because that's clearly been one of the hurdles in the past. I can't live without pigs because of marketing obligations and we need market barns. I can't go 20 or 30 weeks without pigs. So how can we cut that downtime through a breeding project? Easily done and economically very viable.
What is it? So just to kind of set the audience up a little bit, you're not talking about emptying the barn out and then bringing a bunch of gilts in and then spending 20 plus weeks to get back to farrowing again. You're talking about breeding gilts at some finishing barn, typically out mm-hmm. in the middle of nowhere. Quiet, clean place, guys out there breeding every day. And all the cost would be yardage to rent that space that you maybe already had on your farm and you're not using yours, so you're paying somebody for their barn. Labor, but there's a bunch of other pitfalls. Those are the two obvious ones. I got to pay somebody to go out and breed, and I got to rent the barn. What else is there for the cost in these breed projects?
One of the most cost-efficient ways, if you can have the resource to do it, Spencer, is what we would consider an orderly liquidation of the existing herd and in conjunction, a breeding project in an offsite. So what that really means is, as I'm placing gilts into an offsite finisher and conducting a breed project, at the same time as sows are weaned, farrowed, weaned, then you're going to cull breed group by breed group, wean group by wean group. And so you orderly liquidate over 16 weeks. At the same time, you're orderly breeding your next group of gilts to come in. So you really cut your downtime down. Yes, you have to have offsite facilities that are biosecure. You have to have a team to be able to manage an offsite breed project. You do have cost that goes into that offsite facility. The breeding cost and the feed cost, really, those are no different, but it is the additional facility and maybe some of the additional labor that you have to have.
Yeah. Yeah. I jumped ahead a little bit. I just started going right to the offsite, but you're essentially doing 100% replacement. You're weaning and culling all your old sows, and you're breeding and gestating all your new gilts at another location. But you gotta, I'm just thinking, it's a hassle. It's not like you do it for fun. You got to find some housing in some desolate location in the middle of South Dakota or wherever for the breeders. What about you're in finishing pens, they're on full feed. How easy is it to manage body conditions so you don't bring a bunch of elephants into your farrowing house?
You certainly have to be, you have to be diligent about how you manage feed budgets, how you manage feeders, how you manage stocking density, a whole host of other factors. And there's little tricks as you operate within one of these breed projects to make sure that you get things done correctly and you don't have massive gilts coming in. And right, that may be adjusting diets to have more fiber. That may be some methodology in terms of limit feeding to gilts, right? There's different ways of doing it, Spencer. And it takes a little bit of practice to get it done right.
Okay.
But when you look at the overall payback, right? That's the big question, is what's my payback on this? Well, if I accept the fact that I may have a $3 or $5 or $7 per pig cost every year because of poor health issues, it may be as simple as a 1 to 2 year payback, Spencer. It could be scary simple at how much that, even though the depop seems expensive on paper, when you actually look at what that bacterial health or what that sow farm poor health is costing, if this is your only option, it may be a lot quicker than you think on terms of payback.
Yeah, I'm just thinking the yardage, maybe it's 15, 20 bucks or something like that per gilt. And that's only for half a year period of time. So if you said, well, I'm going to spread this cost of the project over a few years, it's a few dollars a gilt. And if you're talking about dollars per pig, the payback is, it could be like in the matter of months, not even years, as far as how quickly it could pay back. If you were having a lot of trouble with strep and other things, it could be incredibly fast.
There's always some math to understand the cull market, right? You got to get this cull market versus what's the cost of my incoming gilt. Those two factors have some market variability to them, but the other things, they're very tangible. And honestly, most of the math that we've done on these scenarios, when the farm is in a red status, you have very unhappy farmers because of the performance downstream, because of these issues. The payback is very short. And that's where it becomes an easier decision, especially if you're a farmer or a veterinarian who's seen what that optimum looks like of the cleaned up herd versus the red health status today. It becomes very clear.
We're not used to doing it, but we have farms in the Pipestone Management group of farms that are doing it. We also have, I have clients that are doing it just on their own. And so the question is, like, when would you do it? Why wouldn't everybody do it? And why would nobody do it? We're not used to doing it, and it's probably not for everybody, but who is it for? You kind of alluded to it, but where would you draw the line on who it is and who it is not for?
The key is understanding, what is the status of my health farm? What is the status of my sow farm? That's the biggest one, and that's where we struggle in the past, Spencer. As veterinarians, as those in the industry, at complicating that simple question. We take a very simple question and complicate it with, you know, I'm 2VX on PERS and I'm positive stable on influenza, blah, blah, blah. If we can simplify it down to, hey, I got a red health status, I have wean to market performance that's undesirable, it's not what it could be, not what it should be, I can start to quantify what that dollar loss or that percent top value losses. Well, that's the place to start. If I have a sow farm health status that's undesirable and I have a clear health tax or a wean to market drag, I can easily put some pencil to paper to say, okay, what's my ROI look like? Have I exhausted all other resources to address this red level status? And maybe depopulation is one of the things that has to be put on the table if it is a bacterial health issue or just years and years of different sources, et cetera. It's cleaner today than it ever has been in how we can categorize that sow farm, how we can talk about it in common language, and how we can start understanding the economics with the assets we have to be able to do so.
Okay, so I'll throw out some scenarios and I answer what you think the answer is. And I think I kind of know what you'll say, but we'll see. A relatively young or new farm that's got a clean stocking from a single source with no viral diseases and no bacterial problems. Yes or no? Do this health upgrade?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not, Spencer. The difference we see today, you know, the top producers out there, they're 96% of pigs going to grade A markets.
Yeah.
That's astounding.
Yeah.
And I 4%. Have the other end of the spectrum that are in these red levels. You know, they may be 85%, yeah. And there can be some noise in there, but you start seeing just staggering differences.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. One more question. I know we should probably wrap it up. You're going to do the health upgrade. You're going to roll the herd. You're getting rid of your old dirty sows and you're going to put some clean ones in. It's probably worth commenting that I know as a company, we used to say, oh yeah, get some, this genetics company's guilt, whatever. Where are you going to get them from? Doesn't matter. They're all clean because they're tested for myco and for PRRS and for PED. They'll be clean. Just put them in. I would feel confident in what you're going to say on this one. And that it's like, we don't do that anymore. As far as stocking a farm, there's a tremendous amount of care. How do you screen the sources of guilts? Like, you know, the genetics company says, oh, we can stock you out of these four farms versus another one that says one single source, simple stocking, will load you up. Simple, not complicated, one source. But the difference between those two stocking options, how important, like super important, a little important, where would you put it?
It is critical to get that done right, Spencer. We have better tools today in the industry that we have ever had by far. And we have historically not gone into the level necessary because of some lack of knowledge or lack of appreciation for these differences in bacteria. But today that is more critical step than anything to get complete understanding of the bacterial health and sourcing history of that multiplier, mm-hmm. and then shoot for a single source stocking as best as you can. Those are just paramount as we think about how do I optimize the sow herd going into this new farm. Those components are absolutely critical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think of the stockings that have been proposed and genetics company X says, oh, we can fill you out a bam, bam, bam. They list three sources that are maybe not even related, same genetics, not flow related at all. You think you would gladly sell the gilts into that, I'm sure, but I don't know what the impact is, and I can see problems. And when there's been mixed stockings, how many times has that been problematic later where we just scratch our heads and think, oh, we didn't know that would result in this? It's more times than you can count on two hands that I can think of.
We learned very hard lessons, Spencer, unfortunately, and the only thing we can do is get better by those. We've definitely had multi-source stockings from time to time, and still will have from time to time. But it becomes more and more clear the more time that passes and the more examples that we put together that there's a model that is correct in trying to optimize this health. And single source stockings, known health and sourcing of a multiplier definitely gives us better clarity and better confidence today in what animals we're going to put in, for sure. And it is huge in trying to get that done.
Yeah, I didn't want to ignore that part of it, because if anybody's going to start thinking about upgrading on their sow health, that's a huge part of the question is where are you going to get replaced by, mm-hmm. and how are you going to do it and how are you going to maintain it?
We always get better, Spencer. You know, the tools we have today are better than they were. And in the future, we're going to have better tools, but we try and use the information we have to try and make the best decisions for how we upgrade health and how we try to continue to provide this advantage for the farmers.
Yeah. So for listeners out there, like if there's shareholders in our Pipestone Managed Farms, or just clients, you're thinking about this, is this something I should think about? I would say this red, yellow, green concept. If you've got a sow farm and a pig flow that's feeling pretty red most of the time, and there's problems, and they're not always PRRS, they're just pigs that don't start. This fallout, stall out issue from that. I would visit with your vet and start pinning down, like, what am I actually dealing with? Is it just me, or is it me and all the other guys taking pigs out of the source? And if it's you and all the other guys, you should start pushing on this question, because it may be the right answer, and the payback may be a lot quicker, and you'll be a lot happier if you have healthier pigs coming in by something that will take a week or a few weeks of production away from your sow unit to do these projects. The breeding project makes the downtime very small compared to a full depop, a regular depop.
Health has been, is, and very likely will be one of the most significant drivers, profitability, sustainability, you want to name it, Spencer. And so getting this equation right getting that health status right, paramount to farmers continuing to succeed and be prosperous in raising pigs.
All right. Thanks, Adam. I appreciate that. To our listeners, thanks for joining us. And I would invite you back for a next episode of Swine Time Podcast here at Pipestone. I'm your host, Dr. Spencer Wayne. Thank you. Swine Time Podcast was created for the pork industry and individual pork producers around the country. Hosted by Dr. Spencer Wayne with the Pipestone Veterinary Services, the podcast contains pork industry news, advancements in animal care, and how to enhance your productivity. Monthly podcasts are available on Spotify, Google Music, iTunes, Anchor, and on www.pipestone.com.